The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 309. Cool stuff found for Monday, January 10th, 2011.
To the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, the show where you write the agenda, you ask the questions, you send in your tips, and this week, you sent in cool stuff found. We added some of our own from Durham, New Hampshire. I'm Dave Hamilton.
And here in Fairfield, Connecticut, John F. Braun.
Did you have a good weekend, John?
It was okay. Wait, did we get a... No, we got a little dusting.
Okay.
Dusting here. It actually was a nice photo opportunity. All the ice and...
Yeah.
And in the trees and all that. And one of the things I'll mention later is going to help me with my photography, but we won't talk about that now.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. No, I took the two kids and we went snowboarding yesterday, which was the first time I was on a either snowboard or skis in probably almost 20 years, certainly 15 plus. And so that was interesting. It was, in fact, we had a blast. I think we're going to go again next weekend.
So nice.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't break my arm, didn't break my legs. You know, it's good. That was sort of the concern.
Are you going to talk about your attire?
No.
About the union suit that I wore underneath my my ski garb? Of course. As you said, it's got an escape hatch and everything. So that's nice. Nico has sent something in, hopefully to save us from this. He says, I just stumbled over three nice little cool things found or cool stuff found in Snow Leopard that I didn't find mentioned anywhere else. For network printers, the appropriate driver is automatically downloaded, installed on the print client computer for a shared printer, which is cool. In the print dialog appears a low ink warning button next to the PDF pop-up. This is very handy. Yeah, absolutely. If you're not using I guess even if you are using a networked printer, that's there. And then this is one that, you know, I've been using Snow Leopard since the day it came out, John, and I never knew what this was, but in the print queue, to the right of each print job, a little, and so this would be in the, if you double click on your printer and kind of open it up from the dock while there are things in the queue, to the right of each print job is a little right pointing arrow is shown. When clicked, it uses quick view to show you exactly what is being sent to the printer, which I never knew before. And you know, of course, wow, we've been using Snow Leopard for a long time. So
I didn't either. Now for the ink thing, you know, I think that depends on the driver, because the HP, or I had an older HP that I hooked up to the time capsule.
Okay.
So, you know, was a network printer in a sense.
Sure.
But I could never get the supply levels. But now with the newer one that I have, I get the supply levels. And here's another neat thing. Last I checked, if you get the low ink warning, you also get a little supplies button.
Yes.
And maybe that's printer dependent, but if you click on that, it typically redirects you to the Apple site, where you can probably not going to be getting a break on the price, but it is kind of a neat feature if you're in a hurry. Oh gosh, you know, I need to order ink immediately.
Right.
That it steers you there. So that's something else I noticed that I think is kind of nice.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Let's move on to Mark sent this in.
Hi, Dave and John. Mark here from Canada with some cool stuff found. These are two pieces of software that are useful if you order or ship things regularly. Delivery status and Delivery Status Touch from JuneCloud at junecloud.com. Delivery Status is a dashboard widget that makes it simple to track packages. All you have to do is enter the carrier, tracking number, and a name. It does all the work for you. It gives you a little countdown in days to the expected arrival time, and you can turn on ground notifications if you want. Delivery Status Touch is an iPhone or an iPad app that does basically the same thing, but it also has push notification and can show your delivery on the map. It uses the built-in GPS to show your location and where your package is relative to you. Delivery Status is free, and Delivery Status Touch is only $2.99 from the App Store. Another cool feature they include is the free sync service. So if you add a package on one device, it syncs to all of them, and you can get updates on your Mac, your iPhone, your iPad, or even your iPod Touch.
Cool. Well, thanks. That is cool stuff. You know, I use something similar, a web-based service, which now also has its own iPhone app called Track the Pack. And it's, of course, track thepack.com. And it's a similar kind of thing. The cool part, and it was developed by, it's still owned by Josh Pigford, who was the original founder of the Apple blog, and at theappleblog.com. And the cool thing is, not only can you go to the website and pump the stuff in and then it'll track it for you, it'll give you email alerts, right, as things are either on the truck for delivery or out to be delivered. If you choose, you can turn that off. And then you can also, when you get an email from, say, Amazon or really anybody that has shipping notification and has a tracking number in it, you can forward that. I think the email address is track@trackthepack.com. And as long as it comes from the email address that you have on file with them, so you have to send it from whatever address you signed up with, it'll automatically add that to your account. So it's really cool, especially, you know, last month with Christmas stuff being ordered or whatever, I'd get a shipping notification. I just forward it off to Track the Pack and boom, I could see where everything was and really handy. So yeah, delivery status sounds like they do a lot of, you know, there's some similar things, some differences, but yeah, definitely a cool product category, if you will.
Nice. Yeah, I typically use the website of the carriers. I think almost all of them offer some sort of thing. The one thing I got to suggest, though, if you ever use USPS, which having worked in the mail industry, I still like USPS. But if you're going to ship something, get delivery confirmation. You get much better tracking information,
right?
I found. And it's only like 70 cents, usually. I find it a lot more specific as to where the package is than I think the regular tracking, you get maybe two notifications. One,
okay,
when the person puts it in the system, and the second one you get usually after you receive the package.
Got it.
That's good stuff.
All right. Greg writes, I found this app to be a Flickr must have. It's an app called Flickery at eternalstorms.at. I've tried the new iPhoto 11 Flickr sharing, and it's buggy and not very functional like this app. They have good tutorials at the link below, which, of course, we'll put in the show notes, and a 15-day free trial, which means that it's not free, and I'll pull up the price right here for you. Cool. Have you ever used this, John? You do a lot with Flickr?
Not a lot. I mean, they have integration in the various, iPhoto and
right,
some of the other tools. One thing I have used, now Flickr does have their own tools. If you go to the Flickr site /tools, and that's actually one I've used. It's called, and they have it for the Mac, and I think they also have some Java ones called Flickr Uploader, UPLOADR, because, you know, they got a spelling problem over there.
Yep.
Or they dropped the E, but they also have some free tools. So I'm sure this is more sophisticated than what the Flickr guys are for you.
Yep. It's $24, but, you know, try it before you buy it. Of course. You had one related to pictures, you said, John. Is it time to share that?
You know, I think, yeah, it's pictures, but it's kind of App Store.
Okay.
So, as you know, I've, I'm an aspiring photographer, or I like taking pictures.
Right.
And some of them look pretty nice, I think. But iPhoto, and I have pictures going back, and I actually looked at my library the other day, and my iPhoto library is about 80 gigabytes. I have stuff going back to like 2000. So I have at least 10 years worth of photos.
Wow.
With the various digital cameras that I've had. And iPhoto, I don't really think is meant to deal with a large database.
No, never has been. Although it's each version has gotten better, but yeah, it's still, yeah, not great.
Now, one thing you could do, and I think, what was it called? We mentioned in a prior show, there is a way to split up your iPhoto.
iPhoto Library Manager. Can't live without it. Yep.
So then I decided, you know what? I should take a look at Aperture. Now, Aperture is Apple's high-end photo management and editing software. It talks to and it can import your iPhoto library, though it takes a real long time, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
But the nice thing, Dave, is that normally it's, and you can still, I think we'll link to this, you can get a 30-day free trial. It's still available. And, you know, they ship you a serial number and you can try it for 30 days, see if it's for you. And it only took me a couple of days to realize that it does way more than iPhoto. Now, the retail price of this, Dave, from the Apple site is $2.99. But if you get it from the App Store, $79.99.
Wow.
I don't think you can go wrong. I mean, that's you know, a little bit more than the price of the entire iLife suite.
Yeah, no kidding.
So for $80, what it offers you, I mean, so in addition to having, you know, more adjustments and ways to tweak your photos, it also supports plugins from a number, you know, there's a lot of people that make plugins that work with Aperture. So it's really a great opportunity, I think, to take the next step. And I think they're passing on the benefits of the digital delivery. There's no box, there's no disk, there's no serial number management or anything.
Yeah, but
you
clearly,
go to the App Store and download it.
Yeah, clearly, though, they've, I mean, they're still, I mean, it doesn't, there's still a delta between the cost of delivery and all that stuff and $79 versus what, $299 you said?
It's still listed for $299 if you want to order it in a box. That's the full retail price, yes.
Wow. Huh. Well, that's cool.
And I noticed one more piece of software. So speaking of App Store, I'll throw this other one in because it's a real quick one. It's something you and I had looked at in the past, Dave, and I actually wanted to revisit it and check it out. Apple Remote Desktop.
Okay.
That's another one, $299 or more. I think it's $299 for a 10 client license and $499 for an unlimited.
Okay.
From the App Store. And I just checked it out to see how much. Also $79.99. Now, it may be, and you saw, it may be overkill. I mean, if you're only managing one computer, it's probably, you know, overkill. But if you're in either a household with a lot of computers or in an enterprise, though I don't know if they're issues with buying it in an enterprise setting.
Right.
Someone advised me of that perhaps but hey, for $80, if you got, you know, more than a few machines, it's a nice way to see what they're up to install software remotely, to monitor them.
Yep.
And the capability is built right into, you know, if you go to system preferences and sharing, there is a way, I don't even think you have to install any software on the client. So you just have to enable remote management.
That's right.
So, but both these packages originally being $300 and now they're $80. I think that's I think it's just to help make the store successful.
I think you might be right. Yeah. No, you know, it was interesting because I saw that this weekend that, you know, that they had, or last week that they had put ARD, Apple Remote Desktop, up for $70-$80 or whatever. And I thought, huh, you know, because I was a huge regular user of ARD just here at kind of the house/office. Now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 computers, right? And invariably, I'll be in one place, either the house or the office, and want to control a computer that's in the other. And ARD was by far the best way to deal with that. And it's great. But then when Snow Leopard came out and it had screen sharing built in, I found that, you know, I don't launch ARD much anymore. Now, to be fair, screen sharing only does screen sharing, but that's all I was using ARD for. Of course, ARD will also let you, like you said, install software and you can get reports and all that. But I find, as you know, well, I wasn't going to say just a normal home user because I know I'm not normal, but you know, I'm a geek, right? I mean, let's face it. But even for me, ARD, I find it overkill. But if you are if you're truly managing these machines and you want to push updates to all these machines at once, then it could work.
Now, one weird thing I noticed that it didn't let me do, and maybe this is one of the downsides of the Mini. So one feature that it potentially can let you do is not only shut remote machines off, but turn them on. Now, they warn me, and maybe I'm just misconfigured here, because I wanted to turn on my Mini from remote. And it says, well, it has to be, you know, because I think it's Wake on LAN is what it's called. It has to be hooked up by Ethernet, and it is. But when I tried it, it said Mac Mini does not support, it was something specific, and it said, sorry, the Mini doesn't support this. Maybe that's just the particular controller, or maybe the, you know, the higher end machines support that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, while we're on the subject of screen sharing, Kirshen actually has something that, believe it or not, is an audio comment here, John. I think. Right. Maybe.
There we go. Hello, John and Dave. It's Kirshen from Cedar Rapids, Iowa here with a tip on how to create a shortcut to open a screen sharing connection. I found these from an Apple discussion forum post, and I'll put the link in my email. There are two ways to achieve this. You can use Automator and use the run shell script action and replace the default cat command with the text open vnc:// computer address. You can use either the dotted quad standard IP address such as 192.168.0.1 or the computer name .local syntax used with Bonjour for the computer address. Alternatively, you can use Safari. Type the following address in the Safari location bar. /vnc:// computer address. Again, you can use a dotted quad or Bonjour syntax for the computer address. When you hit return, screen sharing will launch and connect to the specified computer. You can now drag the URL in the location to the desktop or wherever and create a shortcut. You can now double-click that URL file to connect. Thanks for all that you do in Mac Geekdom, and keep up the great work.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Christian. That's pretty cool. I like it. And we do have the link to this that we'll put in the show notes, of course. Anything to add to that, John? I mean, that was sort of wrapped up our nice little ARD.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Christian sent something else in. Christian is also a programmer in her own right and writes, just wanted to let you know that I've posted an automator action called add prefix string on my site, freerangecoder.com. It lets you prepend a string to input text, created it to add a URL stub to the input string. Imagine so that it starts with http://. I've also put up the source code, Xcode project, and links to the Apple developer site for an automator action tutorial. So you can check all that out at freerangecoder.com. I can see where that would be very handy inside an automator script too. You still, have you done stuff with automator, John? Are you, yeah, no.
Not a lot. The last thing I did was when we had this one, question about iCal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was scheduling something, and yeah, I was able to create an automator action to cause something. Oh, I think it was to connect to a network volume. That was the question.
Right.
So we had someone that wanted to on a regular basis to mount a network volume, and there's a way within iCal to launch an automator action. So I was able to do that. That was kind of neat. And I do have one, a third-party one. This is still something that bugs me, is iWeb. iWeb has one annoying feature in that if you want to insert stuff like a Google Analytics, once iWeb updates the site, it scrubs all that code out of there. So somebody wrote, and I even threw a few bucks at them, wrote an automator action that will basically go through all your websites and add the code that you can use with Google Analytics.
So to make sure that they can track your every move on the web, right?
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I like to, I assume we use it on the site, or we use something.
We do. Well, we use a couple different things. We use, what is now Google Analytics. It was previously a product called Urchin that Google purchased and then made available for free. And it is, it's fantastic analytics, but it's not entirely real time, meaning, I think the data is usually about 3 hours old. So we put something else up there called Mint, available at haveamint.com. And it's for pay, but it's, relatively short money. It's less than $50, I think, for the software. And it uses a little JavaScript thing, very, very similar in its implementation to Google Analytics. But the cool thing is we have data immediately. And then we wrote a little thing to link with our publishing system so we can see real-time trends with articles and all that stuff. It's actually really, really cool stuff. So check that out if you want to have a Mint. I think it's like $30, maybe 40, but it's certainly way less than 50, and it's great to obsess about. And it's all module based, and you can add their modules. They've got third party modules that you can download and try out. You can pick which ones you want to use and which ones you don't. And like I said, we wrote one or two of our own that track some, just some things that we wanted to kind of customize. So, our first sponsor here is, and this, these Cool Stuff Found shows, it's always cool because we get to talk about a sponsor which has cool stuff too. And Barebones is our first sponsor for this show. And what we're talking about today is Yojimbo. Yojimbo is definitely a Cool Stuff Found contender from my point of view. The way Yojimbo works is it's a data repository for basically everything else in your computing life. You've got your email, and that's in your email program. You've got your calendar, and that's in your calendar program. But what about all those other little bits of data that you sort of accumulate? Little text snippets, little PDFs, things that are different types of data, but you just want to store them all together. And I have, I use Yojimbo to track all kinds of different things. I store a little tech info in there. I store all my, serial numbers from applications that I, you know, when I go and register a piece of shareware or whatever. In fact, even my Yojimbo serial number is stored inside Yojimbo. I then have, and you can organize it all by collection. So I have a collection in there called Mac Geek Gab. And inside that is where I dump when you folks write us email and we reply. And now we've got a little something that we can go and use in the show. I throw that out as a PDF inside Yojimbo. And then I have a text file in Yojimbo that I go and I build the agenda and I drag all that stuff out. And then John, you get it as PDFs and RTF files. And it works great. It syncs with MobileMe, and it actually with MobileMe as it stands right now, the syncing's been working incredibly well. So, you know, I prepped the show down on my MacBook Pro this morning, I let MobileMe do its thing and magically all this stuff is sitting up here on the iMac in the studio. So that's Yojimbo. Yojimbo, of course, is available as a free trial download for the Mac. And then it is $38.99 for an individual license. And then there's Yojimbo for iPad, which right now is one way, meaning you can get the data from your Mac to the iPad. It's $9.99 in the App Store, and you can see all your Yojimbo data there, and perhaps they'll add Write to it. We don't know, but that's available in the App Store. So you can check all this out at barebones.com, but that's Yojimbo and Yojimbo for iPad available for the Mac and the iPad. All right. You know, we had on a previous, I think it was even a Cool Stuff Found show, John, we had a discussion about the, and I guess it wasn't, I guess it was a regular show about how to get the paper tape view happening in the calculator inside OS X. You remember that? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. It's a cleverly hidden in one of the menus somewhere.
That's right. Well, Joe writes, with all the talk of adding machine on the Mac, I thought I'd chime in. I too was looking for that type of functionality, but instead on my iPhone. While at the bank depositing a few checks, I found myself adding up the checks twice to be sure I was right and to be sure I didn't miss anything. Then I thought, wouldn't it be nice if there was an app that had a virtual tape? As a result, my iPhone app Adding Tape was born. And I've checked it out and it does exactly what you would think. It shows you the running total. And it's available in the App Store. And I'm going to, well, I don't know, is it safe to pull this up while we're recording? It's $2.99 in the App Store, and hopefully it doesn't try to launch iTunes. Good. Yes, it is $2.99 in the App Store. So a Mac Geek Gab inspired app, if you will. So I think that's very, very cool stuff for a lot of reasons. Did you check it out there, John? Or haven't you yet? You did? Good.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Oh.
No.
All right. There's a promo code for you now in the
email. Yeah.
Okay.
I still use my abacus.
Okay. You got to hold on to some things, right, John? We've dragged you kicking and screaming into the future. I can't really complain, right?
No, but I often do use the regular calculator on my iPod Touch, like when I'm going, going shopping and stuff.
Yeah,
like they have one of the local grocery stores here. They have a 10% off if you buy over $50. So I try to come within a couple of cents of that, and the cashier is always like, "Wow, you $50.03? How'd you do that?"
You know what? I started using when Lisa was recovering from surgery earlier this winter, I guess. She was on the couch for a couple of weeks and she's fine now. Everything's good. But, you know, I was doing the grocery shopping again, which I haven't really taken care of. I mean, I've gone to the grocery store, but I haven't been in charge of the household grocery shopping or even involved in it probably in the last, 10 plus years since we had kids. We used to do all the shopping together, but then we sort of split things up. And so I used this app called Grocery Pal, and it was free for the iPhone, and it's cloud-based in that you can share your grocery list amongst, multiple people and keep kind of moving things around. And then you organize it. You can tell it, okay, well, milk and, bread and bacon are all in one aisle at the grocery store. And, you kind of organize all this stuff. And then it you can tell it, give me the list and the order that all this stuff is going to appear in the store. And it's fantastic.
Wow.
Oh yeah, dude. It, I mean, you know, well, I'm male, right? So therefore when I'm shopping, I prefer the surgical strike method. Tell me exactly what I'm going to go get and boom, I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to get it for the right price and, you know, quickly. And I don't, I'm not going to mess around. I don't want to do anything else. It's just kind of how my mind works. Right. So, so this app totally feeds into that because I hate nothing more than getting to aisle six and realizing, oh crap, there's something on the list that's aisle one. Now I have minions with me, right? I would bring the children. So I'd say, all right, you know, tell my son, you aisle one. He's like, got it. You know, and he'd go off and he'd come back. Here it is. You know, great. So it all worked out, but this made it even more efficient. So,
oh, and the kids don't load up the cart with, you know, extra requests.
No, you know, I think they really had worked on my wife. They'd really kind of massaged her into buying all kinds of different stuff. She might buy a better brand of this or a more expensive brand of that. And, or, you know, things that we just didn't need. And of course me, I'm ruthless at the store with that stuff. It's like, no, look, this is the cheaper one. You can tell by looking at the, you know, you compare the price per unit kind of thing and you're done. And the kids hated it. They hated it, especially my daughter. My son got into it, but my daughter's like, I can't wait till mommy does the shopping again. But I was spending like half our grocery bills, like cut in half when I was doing the shopping. Of course, I was.
Of course.
I wasn't.
No, I
really
do the
buying.
Same thing. I'm ruthlessly efficient. Yeah. Always look at the unit price. That's pretty much the only thing I zoom in on. And if I have a coupon, you know, I'll recalculate and I'm like, yeah, okay, it's cheaper.
Yeah. But I wound up buying this bread, man. That was, I mean, this stuff couldn't even hold itself together. It was bad news. I realized that, you know, you got to have certain standards here and, you know, I had to adjust my buying habits over the, whatever it was, 3 or 4 weeks that I was doing the grocery shopping. Cause this bread was terrible. I mean, what this lets you do is it's a multiple user Gmail application. And it does, it kind of sandboxes multiple Gmail sessions. So you don't have to log out of one in order to log into the other. It uses WebKit, but it bakes these separate WebKit sessions in. At least that's my interpretation of what they've done. I mean, who knows how they really did it, but that would be the simplest way in my, you know, never having programmed on Objective-C mine, but it's pretty cool. And available as she said, for $3 in the App Store for the iPad. So if you have multiple users and you kind of have the iPad as your coffee table sort of machine, don't log in Safari. Let Safari kind of be the general purpose browser. Get rid of the Mail app or, you know, move that off. And then just use little mailboxes as your Gmail client on the thing and you're good. Good to go. Kind of heads the iPad down that app function path of using it as a general purpose, you know, kind of multi-user machine, which would be
great
if Apple did that because it's a killer coffee table device, if you will.
You iPad people.
Oh, you don't have one, do you? I'm shocked.
No, I still got the iPod Touch.
I know, but I keep thinking of you as like the perfect iPad user because you're always sort of bouncing around your house and you know you've got your computing device of choice in your hand or whatever, and the iPad makes that so much better, especially sitting on the couch. I'm surprised you haven't taken that plunge yet.
No, my MacBook still does it for me.
Right. Yeah, that's what it would replace effectively. So yeah,
I'm not ready yet.
I know.
Again, I'm, you know, so I just got the mini. Come on.
I know.
Where are you going?
Okay.
You back?
What's that? I'm back. Oh, you know, I just leaned away from the mic a little bit. So, you know, I am an iPad user and the iPad is a device that screams for a case. And the reason I say that is it's certainly fine to hold, but oftentimes you want to prop it up even on my legs. You know, if I'm using it on the couch, I kind of like to prop it up a little bit. Or if I'm watching a movie on a, you know, on an airplane or some sort of, you know, other environment, you don't want to have to just hold it necessarily. And so I've always used a case and I started with the Apple case and I tried a couple others. And then, last month I found the case that I absolutely love. Casemate sent us a bunch of stuff. And in this box was what they called the Venture iPad case. Now, they sent me one in brown. It's actually a really nice kind of brown leather. It's not cheap. It's $90, and you can wait till there's a sale, because over Christmas I bought one for my father-in-law, and I think it was like, you know, less than 60, which is still expensive, but totally worth it. It's got, you know, the visual things are so hard to describe. Check it out. But it's got a snap to kind of close it, fold itself closed, so the screen is protected when not in use. And then you flip the top over, and it's got two snaps on the back that let you kind of not fully detach, but kind of dehinge the top. It's almost like a snake's mouth, and it opens up a little further, and then you flip it around and it sits on itself and sits propped up or however you want it. And it really, really works well. It's the best iPad case in terms of what feels good in your hand and what's just natural to use. And my father-in-law fell in love with his. My family loves this one that I have. So it's definitely worth checking out. Again, it's not cheap. It's not a whim purchase. You know, you want to research this and take a look. They've got a couple of videos on there that show it being used in kind of the ways that I'm describing. But totally worth it. And if this one ever broke, I would not hesitate to spend the $90 to replace it. So it is good stuff. And then while we're on the subject of cases, you know, when I travel, John, I do put my iPhone in a case because it's bound to break, right? Otherwise. But when I travel, most of the hotels I wind up staying in have clock radios that have little iPod docks. And I like to listen to music, and I always wind up using these things. And I also use that white noise app. Have I talked about that on the show before, John? You don't know. Maybe.
So I think you may have, and it put me to sleep.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. So it's right. It's exactly that. It kind of generates white noise, and they've got, you know, probably 100 different presets from campfire sounds to running water and all that. And I use that in hotel rooms to drown out, you know, the noise of, you know, paper thin walls and whatever else is going on around. And so I plug that in, and it's nice because it charges my iPhone while it's kind of using the speakers of the clock radio. But the problem is inside any case I've ever used, the dock connector is, you know, too recessed to work in those sorts of things. It works fine for plugging in a charger, but otherwise it doesn't really work. Well, Spec, who makes some of my favorite cases that they call the candy shell cases, they created an iPhone 4 candy shell that they call the Flip, and it is built for exactly that purpose. You can flip the bottom kind of over on the back. It looks like a kickstand, but they make it clear, look, this thing's not built to hold up the iPad for any length of time. So don't use it as a stand, but you flip it out and then you put it in a dock. And of course the dock holds it then, and it works great. So I will use that case for Macworld Expo later this month, because I think we have iPod dockable things in our hotel rooms at the Intercontinental. So those are my two cases. You have anything to add, John?
Some a little different, but you know, I was talking about my Mini.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked about the new Apple support profile site, and you know, I decided, you know, and they have a button in there showing Apple Care, and I'm like, you know what, I better get Apple Care. Now, we did talk that I was able to find the best price,
right,
from buy.com, but I didn't get it from buy.com. I got it from Amazon, and I'll tell you why, Dave. So number one, I had a gift card that I got for a Christmas present.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So that was basically free money. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've seen these machines. These machines are kind of cool. I think it's the same people that do Redbox. It's called Coinstar.
Yeah. Yeah. We use that here. I know. Yeah. Go ahead. Tell people what that is.
Well, here's what I say. It's basically a change counting machine. Now, and what happens a lot of places now, so if you go to a bank, a lot of times, unless you're a member at the bank, they'll nail you with a service fee, whether it be 5% or more. And actually, Coinstar does this as well. Like right. The one I went to, they'll nail you for like 9% service fee to count your change and give you a voucher for cash. But if you get an Amazon gift card code, they give you the full value for your coinage. How good does it get? So if you buy, and it's not just Amazon, it's a lot of other people. So basically between the gift card and, you know, some extra change I had coming around, I got Apple Care for way cheap.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So these machines are really neat. Again, you're going to get nailed if you don't get it on a gift card for somebody.
Right.
Well, actually I found the other way you can, get a voucher for cash. One of them I used one time, apparently the modem was broken. And if the modem is broken and it tries to dial out, it will say, "Yep, communications failure. Here's a voucher for the full value." And they will waive the service charge because they screwed up.
So
now, I'm not encouraging anybody to reach.
One of the kids were messing around behind the machine and happened to knock the phone cable out. That'd be a shame, right?
And it was definitely, I guess they're going low budget with these machines, because I definitely heard a modem dialing up to Amazon, you know, once I put the money in there to basically download the gift code, which I then input online. But no, it's a, you know, between that and Redbox, I mean, and Redbox, I love Redbox too for renting the movies for cheap.
Yep. You know, I mentioned travel and we love us some travel geek gab stuff here. Francis wrote, let's see. I heard you talking about a small bag for traveling on a plane. And I did in a podcast quite a while back. I talked about how I keep all the stuff that I'm going to use at my seat. I put in one kind of pouch inside my carry-on. So when I get to my seat, I don't have to dig out my iPod and my iPad and my headphones or whatever other junk I might want during the flight. I just grab this one pouch. It's all in there. I zip up my carry-on. I throw it in the overhead bin. It's not mucking around at my feet, and then I just have this one little pouch. Well, he found something at Magellans.com that is exactly this, but built to sit on the seat back, so the tray table in front of you. It kind of hangs from that, and it's $30. It's called the Slimline In-Flight Organizer Panel. And it has all these pouches and everything you'd ever want. And then it also folds up and zips closed. And he took some pictures of it. They've got some on the site, but he took some pictures and it looks fantastic and it looks to do exactly. He says, I live in England, but thought it was so great. I have it sent over for both my husband and myself. Sorry, Francis is a woman. We are travel journalists and fly somewhere at least once a month, sadly, always in the back of the plane, and anything that can help and stop us scattering our stuff around is great. This bag attaches to the back of the tray table, as I said, and you can still use the tray table as there is enough room between the tray table and the bag and your knees when it is down. It really works well corralling all your odds and ends. The net pocket is just the right size for our Sony ebook readers. And there's another pocket in the back, which I can fit my MacBook Air into in the black cover in one of the pictures. Fold in half and zipped up, you fit it right into your main carry-on bag. One more tip. To ensure no one squashes my computer unexpectedly on my tray table, I always ask the person in the seat in front just to tell me if he wants to put his chair back. 9 times out of 10, they never do put their seat back. And then if they do, at least I am warned. So, yeah, very cool. This is awesome, Francis. Thank you for sending this our way. Moving along, anything, John?
Let's move.
Okay. On Twitter, Boss sent us a link for an app at selfcoded.com called Just Notes. This is a Mac app for connecting to and editing your Simple Note notes. Simple Notes, an app that we mentioned in the past for the iPhone and iPad. And this Just Notes app, it's actually an awesome way to sync with Simple Note on your Mac. And you can do all kinds of stuff. But it's really straightforward and simple and just like just what you'd want. So thanks for sending that our way. And along those same lines, Andy tells us about another app that will do the same thing. He calls it, or he doesn't call it, he found it. It's Notational Velocity at notational.net. And he said this is a free, as in both speech and beer, app that lets you easily work with a folder of text files or notes, search them and so forth. And the best part, of course, is that it syncs with Simple Note automatically and over the air. Of course, you have to put in your login, but after you do that, it's totally automatic and instant. I use it as a place to dump random notes, thoughts and such. I can get to them anywhere, even if I'm mobile, and I can find just by searching. So there you go. Two Mac apps to connect to Simple Note. And then Matt writes, anything to use Simple Note, John?
No.
Okay. Matt writes, he wants to make sure we've all not forgotten about an app called Macaroni, which is at atomicbird.com. He says Macaroni runs these maintenance tasks on a regular schedule, regardless of when your Mac is on. If a scheduled maintenance task is not run when it's normally scheduled, Macaroni automatically ensures that it is run at the next opportunity whenever the Mac is on. So a cool stuff found that also solves our problem that we were talking about with maintenance tasks recently.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Mini. It did run daily on the 9th, but it
not today.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to install that on here.
All right, cool. We'll check it out, and you would be a perfect test case because I don't have a machine where this is a problem. I can't seem to make it happen. All right, George writes. Hi, George. He writes, I'm writing to recommend a Mac software program I found by the most fortuitous and persistent Googling. I sure didn't know I was looking for super flexible file scheduler until I came across one lonely reference to it in a user comment on a blog. Perhaps it was hiding in plain sight and is just well known. Googling super flexible may not find the software, but is certain to find Natasha Super Flexible Girl on YouTube. Since Natasha's on YouTube, I presume she's safe at work, but I didn't watch her whole video to confirm. Looking forward to revisiting her tonight on the 60-inch TV. All right, so I'm reading now the random thoughts of George. Anyway, what does Super Flexible Folder Synchronizer do? Number one, it passes the enhanced backup bouncer test, probably true as the recent Super Folder Filer Friender Thinger now handles Quicken files, which I learned by having them mangled by an old version of Dropbox. So it syncs change files in a flash, it syncs files to the cloud and back. It zips and encrypts files going to the cloud or your hard drive with 256-bit AES encryption and unencrypts files coming back on the fly. Offers very granular control of your sync, has many other features, including a built-in scheduler. And George said he is using it seamlessly with Amazon S3's cloud, though it works with many clouds, including MobileMe. So there's a 30-day free trial, and then there's various different licenses at various different prices. But Super Flexible File Scheduler sounds like a winner if you want something like Dropbox, but want to have a whole lot more control over what it does for you. So, and it is superflexible.com. Let's see, there is, I'm trying to look here. There's a pro version for $60 and a regular version for $35. So, but it's a free 30-day trial. Of course, you have to provide your own cloud with that. Amazon S3, you can sign up for your own storage bin there. And, of course, MobileMe gives you your iDisk, which is what this would link to. Any thoughts, John?
Oh, I got one cool thing.
Yeah, go.
I can mention it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were talking a little while ago about things that you find in your menu bar, Dave?
Yeah.
And, you know, I did a little digging, and this is a place that you can look. And you can even look now, Dave, but I'm going to tell you where to go.
Okay.
System, Library, Core Services, Menu Extras.
Okay.
And
you,
look at
you
that.
You want me to look now? Oh, okay. So System.
Well, you don't have to, but...
No, I'm going here. Library, Core Services. Uh-oh. It's spinning a lot, John. I'm worried what's going to happen here. Did you make it reboot, reformat my computer here?
No,
Menu extras. Okay. Oh, boy.
Look in
okay.
There. Now, some of them are already activated in your menu bar.
Right.
Some of them, if you click on them, will do nothing. But some of them, if you click on them, will bring up things that you may not be aware of.
Oh.
So everybody take a look in there.
Interesting.
Like one is, I think, Inkwell. Like, for example, I don't have that activated probably because I don't have a device that can support that. But if you click on it, it'll bring up a menu extra up in your menu bar. So so that's where all those guys live, at least the ones that Apple provides.
And then to get them, let's say you put Inkwell up in your menu bar and now you don't want it there anymore. Do you remember how to get it out of your menu bar?
Well, as with any of them, is it option?
Command drag.
Command drag.
Yep.
And and you drag it off the menu bar and then you get a little poof of smoke. So
that's right.
So you may find something in there that you didn't know you needed.
Which is really what these Cool Stuff Found shows are about, isn't it? All the stuff that you didn't know you needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. Yep. You know, we get complaints about these shows, John, but the only complaints are that they're expensive for people.
Right.
And this is not an isolated complaint. People say, oh, yeah, I listened to that show. And then suddenly, you know, I spent a bunch of money, which is great. And I've got something here that you can spend your money on. It is something we've mentioned before. It is a new sponsor to Mac Geek Gab, CoinGo Software. And today we are talking about Air Radar 2. This has become my favorite Wi-Fi scanning app long before they were sponsors. Very happy to have them on board, as we are all of our sponsors. But this was another perfect fit for the show. So Air Radar is a wireless network scanner. You launch it and tell it go, and it goes and scans all of the, you know, Wi-Fi that's available to you, tells you everything it possibly can about it. You know, things like what encryption type, of course, the name, if the name is public, what channel it's on, what frequency that channel happens to be, what speeds it will do, the MAC address of the router, signal strength and all that stuff. And it'll even graph that over time so you can kind of move around your, if you're, say, you're trying to figure out if having your Wi-Fi, you know, your airport base station in one spot works for everywhere in your house. You can sort of move around and see if the signal strength drops and how it does. And then, did you have something to add here, John?
No, I'm just thinking this is a perfect tool for when we have, because we frequently get, you know, people asking about, you know, crummy signal strength and positioning their base station. And, and this sounds like a perfect tool to profile your environment and find out what's if you got a dead spot or what.
And that's you can also see what your neighbors are using, right? And you can find out. Well, no, because it's important to see.
No, I know.
If they, you know, if your neighbor's on channel one, well, then you don't want to be on one or anything close to it. You know, you want to be on six or 11. Really, really cool stuff. And it will just continue to scan and scan and like I said, graph all that stuff. It is one of my favorite things. A 15-day trial is available from Koingo SW. That's KOINGOSW.com. It's called Air Radar. It's version 2.1. It's $19.95 once you're ready to order it. I've owned it for a long time and couldn't possibly have imagined not. So very, very happy to have Koingo on board as a sponsor, of course, and encourage you to check that out. It's a free trial. Can't go wrong. So that's Air Radar, KoingoSoftware.com. All right. I've got another app that's hard to explain. Well, maybe not. Cool stuff found that I found and now I keep on my iPhone is an app called Prismo. It works, believe it or not. I'm going to tell you what it does, but you're going to have a hard time believing that it actually works, but it really, really works. It's a scanner that uses the camera in your iPhone and then does OCR, optical character recognition, on whatever it scanned. So I can take, in fact, I can take the agenda of the show that's right in front of me. I launch it and I click the text button. Now I can either scan right from the camera or from a previously taken picture that's, you know, in my photo album. But, you know, I open it up. It's got a cool little grid so you can line things up and get it right. And then, you know, you take your picture and it pulls the picture in and I say, you know, you see the little preview and you say, yeah, that's cool. And then you choose OCR and you say, you know, optimize this thing and it'll do its deal. And yes, I want to do English. And so go. And it uses an OCR engine right inside the iPhone and it will do this. And everything I've tried it with, it's got really, really close. I mean, it, you know, it's OCR. It's not perfect. But what gets really cool is when you're not in text mode and you go into like what they call business card mode. Somebody gives you your business card. You snap a picture of it in your hand. It parses it. And then it'll add it to your address book on the iPhone, which if you're a Mobile Me user, then syncs back with your Mac. Really, really cool. And the fact that it works is what blows me away. Because, you know, I mean, we've all seen it's the kind of thing where the concept sounds awesome, but if it didn't work, it's like you'd be, you know, frustrating. But you can also they've got a thing where you can capture a bill. From like at a restaurant, if you want to split up the bill. Now I'm somebody, and this is going to be a liability here because somebody's going to take advantage of it. But if I'm out to eat with you and you start wanting to nickel and dime about the bill, that pisses me off to no end. I will not do that. We've shared a meal here. If we're going to split it, we split it 50-50. And if we're not doing that, then I'm just going to take the bill and pay it. And then I'll never go out to eat with you again. That's how I work. Okay. I hate that. You know, it's like, well, I had one soda and you had two and forget that, you know.
No. I'm going to say, you know, I got together with a bunch of coworkers.
Oh, more than one person, it's different. More than one person,
okay,
that changed.
Because we did split it evenly, though everybody got Chinese and one guy got a $10 martini.
Oh.
So he basically Like double. Yeah, to me, that was a disproportionate. Though, again, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was. Now, if everybody had a drink, then I'd say it's fine. So,
yeah.
No, I'm with you. With two people, yeah, it's.
And if one guy has a soda and the other one has a drink, doesn't matter. Just go. It's split it down the middle, and that's it. That's as far as I'm willing to go with it.
Well, I'm. That's why I always do a dinner with you, Dave.
I know.
Whenever I can.
I know. But it's got a thing. If you're one of those people that, especially if you're with a group of people, you know, you take a picture of the bill, you scan it, it breaks it out, and you put it in bill mode, so it knows to break it out by item and price, and you can go through and you can say, okay, John had that, you know, Freddie had this, Dave had that, and boom. You know, it'll tell you what you owe and you put in how much tip you want and it'll calculate each person's share of that and you can drive yourselves crazy with it. And I will never use that feature. It drives me crazy. But that's not to speak poorly of Prismo. That's just my own little thing.
So this is also a storyline in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
Bistromatic Drive.
Yeah.
Where it was powered by robot waiters. Now, have you tried this thing called Word Lens, Dave?
No.
You haven't heard of this?
No.
Oh, you got to get this. Okay. I forget how much it is, but I saw the videos for it.
Yep.
Now, this is something you wouldn't figure someone could do. It's not perfect, but you take a... So I can't use it on the touch because I don't have a camera in mine.
Oh,
you basically...
Right.
It's a dynamic... almost real-time language translator. So you put it in front of something that's in another language and it almost instantly translates it.
Okay, well, it's available for free.
Oh, it's free?
Yeah, this should be called the Babel Fish, right?
Are you kidding? Yeah, speaking of Hitchhikers, are you kidding me?
No.
No. It's, no, I think it's 10. No, it's not free. It can't be free.
Word Lens from Quest Visual, free on the App Store.
Really? I wonder if it's a promo.
I'm trying to pull it up and it's there it is. There's in-app purchases, which may be how they're making their money, which is fine. I you know, everybody deserves to make a buck if they're making something decent. You know me. Speaking of which, while I'm pulling this up, it's a perfect time to mention that we have our Mac Geek Gab Premium. You get an extra two shows a month, $25 for 6 months. And the warm, fuzzy feeling of supporting your two favorite geeks. Yeah, so this isn't coming up. Either my Wi-Fi network is dead, which I don't think it is, because otherwise you and I wouldn't be talking. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay.
So no, I was looking at their page. No, I think they charge for the language modules. So
yeah.
The app itself, I think, is free, but if you want it to translate, then you got to pay. But still, it doesn't look like it's very expensive. I think like $10 a pop here for the various translation modules. But it looks almost
magical. Yeah, I got to check this out. That's good stuff.
I mean, especially for traveling. Oh, my gosh.
Like, right.
You know, if you see a menu, I mean, you know, I think my Spanish is about the only language where I could get by and think I know what I'm ordering. But
Right. All right. Another cool iPhone app that I found is called Print Sharing. Now, this is Print Sharing from I can't remember who it's from. Can't remember this. It's called Print Sharing. From the same people that make Air Sharing, and I don't know why I can't remember the name of the company. But it's Print Sharing. And the idea is there is AirPrint now, right? But, you know, you've got to jump through all sorts of hoops to make that work. So it's Avitron. Of course, it's Avitron. So Avitron has a little piece of software that you can put on your computer to make AirPrint work. But if you've got an app that won't support AirPrint, you can send the data from that app to AirSharing or to PrintSharing rather, and then you can print right from here again, either to Apple's AirPrint if you happen to have a printer that's out there, or a printer that's being shared using Avitron's AirPrint, and it'll go and find printers. In fact, it just found a printer at my house. I just installed the DeskJet 1050 and that's being shared directly from my iMac. And it does not show up with Apple's AirPrint for whatever reason. And I don't know why, but Print Sharing certainly finds that and using Avitron's print engine and off it'll go. So, this is, it's Print Sharing. And I don't know how much it is. Do you know how much this is? Or can, have you looked that up, John?
That's a tough term to...
well, it's Avatron, A-V-A-T-R-O-N. I got it. I'll find it. Come on now. I always like to give you folks the price when we do this stuff, and I write it down for most of them, and I did not on this one. It is $299, and iTunes is going to launch, which might make... okay, good. So yeah, it's $299, and it found any... I think it basically finds any printer that's shared from any of your Macs, whether or not it's supported by Apple's AirPrint. So, you know, you can take a message from Mail and send it to this print sharing app, and then from print sharing, you can just print it off. So it adds one step to the process, certainly, but if your printer is not otherwise supported by AirPrint, it makes it possible, and I like that. You got anything else, John? You've got a couple things left on your list, don't you?
You know, I think I do. So let me get my list here.
Yeah.
Here's something.
Okay.
But I actually did a gadget on, Dave, and I think it's useful because we got this question in the past, and I don't think we really had a good answer.
Okay.
But I think this is now a good answer. So I'm not going to question the motives of people who want to do this, but there may be times when you do not want your IP address known.
Okay.
And normally, when you are connected to your ISP and you connect to someone remotely,
right,
they're going to know what your IP address is. Again, I think it's a big deal most of the time. But I checked out this product and actually wrote a gadget, which I'll link to, called Anonym.
Okay.
And it's from HannyNet.
The waterproof
guy that
people.
Also does waterproof. Yeah, and actually he wrote to me saying, you know, check this thing out. I think you'll enjoy it. And it is the most seamless way that I've seen to anonymize your web connection and maybe some other connections. I only did it for web surfing. But what it does is it accesses a network of proxy servers. And if you know what proxy servers are, I mean, proxy servers is basically something you connect to and then it connects to someone else and it, you know, kind of acts as a go-between. You know, so, some people use them in enterprises to kind of consolidate and control access.
Sure.
But there are people that have also set them up for anonymization. And the nice thing about this is that what he does, so rather than some other products where you have to fiddle with your proxy settings, this reconfigures your network stack. Or use some low-level Unix commands to basically, as soon as you click the button saying turn it on, it turns it on for the protocols that you select.
Huh.
Pretty neat. Now, there's some caveats. Now, of course, you know, if you go through proxy servers, especially if they're in other parts of the world, you know, it may slow down. He mentions that it may be illegal. I'm not aware of any U.S. laws that would prevent you from using this. And it doesn't work for all protocols. But if there's and I don't think there's any way you can really select where you come out, which I guess is kind of the point. Because I know some people get we've gotten, you know, people asking, you know, how can I look like I'm coming like from outside this area? Because sometimes they'll block access from certain countries or certain markets. I'm not aware of any product that can let you get that fine level of control. But, you know, I tried it out. You know, before I activated it, I ran, you know, what is my IP?
Right.
Clicked the button, did it again, and my IP address was different. So, so I'll link to the article on this, but I like the way that he did it because, it doesn't require you to dig into your browser and set up the proxy settings and all that nastiness. It just does it.
Wow. Huh. Very cool. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. And of course, you know, like you said, you can use it for, there are many good purposes for which you would use that. And it's a tool. That's right.
It's just technology. It's neither good nor evil. That's people are good or evil.
That's
or intent.
Right. And companies too, at least Google.
No. Well, how about Apple?
Oh no, Apple doesn't have anything about evil or good in their corporate motto.
Right. So that's you know, I got one more toy. This one's really quick though.
Sure.
So, you know, the batteries I have, you remember I sent in my batteries, you know, we talked about AppleCare before and I actually, sent them in because I think, you know, I left them plugged in too much and whatever. Eventually on the battery menu, it said service battery, which means, something's up here and, maybe it's eligible for replacement. And I actually, you know, called up AppleCare. He had me submit, which is a neat thing in System Profiler. You can actually submit a report to them in real time, which was neat. And he looked at my numbers and he said, yep. We're going to send you new batteries.
Good.
And that was also shown in that, you know, my support profile.
Yeah.
But, you know, my batteries are nearing, or at least the one that I didn't donate to JetBlue in the back of the seat,
right,
is approaching its 300 charge limit. And it's starting to, you know, the capacity is going down. It's not lasting too long, less than 2 hours now. So a little while ago, I ordered from, there's something called the New Power battery. From Newer, and they make third party batteries. This one happens to work. They only make them for the pre unibody 15 inch MacBook Pros.
Okay.
And I actually ordered one in September, and then they had a problem with their supplier, and it was on back order, and actually they gave a small discount to people who had to wait so long. But it's only $99 versus $129 for Apple's battery. But the other thing is that, so this is a 58 watt hour battery, and I don't know if they over engineered it. I think they did, because it has an advertised capacity of 5400 milliamp hours, but once I went through a calibration cycle, it's now saying using a battery health monitor, it's now saying 5728.
Wow.
So it's kind of funny that I look at the capacity and it says, oh, your capacity is 105% or whatever that is.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and I think they're shortly going to come out with 60 watt hour batteries, but I think there's an additional weight for that. So, yeah, apparently they got a batch of them and it didn't meet their standards. So, so there was a little wait, but as far as I know, they're available right now. But yeah, so I got two of those. So I am all set for Macworld, because I want to have at least two batteries.
Cool. You know, I finally, that app downloaded, dude, the word lens thing. So it's $10.
Does it come with
it comes with no language packs. It's $10 to add either English to Spanish or Spanish to English.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll add other languages. But what the demo does is it takes the words that it finds and reverses the letters, which essentially proves that, yep, I can do this. I can, you know, if you plug a dictionary into me, I'm going to be able to swap things around. And it's total augmented reality stuff. I mean, you're seeing it happening right in the view of the camera that you have on the iPhone. As soon as it recognizes a word, it reversed the letters. And I did. I put it right over our agenda. And instead of saying today's show, colon, cool stuff found, it said, you know, D-N-O-U-F-F-F-U-S-T. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But, you know, I saw the video, and at first my BS detector went off. I'm like, yeah, you know, somebody, somebody just put a video together, because especially, I mean, the processor in the iPhone isn't a real powerhouse. And, you know, I guess language translation.
It's a 1 gigahertz, right? You know, so.
Oh, okay. And I guess actually language translation, if you have a dictionary and you have the storage, isn't rocket science.
No.
But the fact that it can do it, you know, especially with what I consider, you know, not the best camera. I mean, it's a pretty good camera,
right,
for a phone.
It's amazing.
Like, it's almost like a universal translator.
It's weird though. I could see reading a menu, and you know, as you're scanning the thing down, it's translating all this stuff. It's bizarre. It's bizarre, man. You got to check this out. Yep.
I can't.
I know.
I don't have the iPhone.
I know. All right.
Well, I may. We'll find out tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. Who knows what's happening with Verizon tomorrow? That's right. We will see. Probably many of you will already know by the time you hear the show. So speaking of iPads, though, and iPad cases, John Martellaro over at TMO, of course, longtime TMO staffer, longtime Mac Geek Gab listener. Hi, John. Reviewed the Zagmate case for iPad earlier this month. And we'll put a link, of course, up to his excellent review. But the concept behind this thing, you got to go see the pictures of it. But the idea is that it's a case that is a shell for the iPad and protects it. But it's also got a keyboard in it. And of course, it can act as a stand. So for somebody traveling, I can totally see where this would be fantastic, because using the iPad with a keyboard really makes editing text so much easier. Because you can move around with arrow keys on the keyboard, as opposed to having to constantly tap the screen to find your insert points and all that. So this Zag case is pretty cool. And John liked it quite a bit. He gave it 4 out of 5. It is $99, and you can check out the review. And then of course, from the review, there'll be a link to the product itself. So, and then lastly, on my iPad, you know, we talked about earlier in the show, John, we were talking about remote access and or Apple Remote Desktop or screen sharing and all that. Doing that from the iPad is interesting. Doing it remotely from the iPad, i.e. when you're not on your local network, it's very, very strange. And recently I purchased and have been testing out something called Log Me In for the iPad. Now, Log Me In is a service / software. You have to install the software on your home computer first. It's a free download. You sign up for an account. And once it's installed, then you can either, well, you can go to the Log Me In website, which, believe it or not, also works on the iPad, works right inside the browser, which sort of blew me away. Because I assumed it would be some sort of Java applet, but whatever they did, they made it work. But the Log Me In app is way better than the browser support. And it works great. You can control your screen. The controls are so intuitive for the iPad. You know, dragging a mouse cursor around on the iPad screen is something that's a little wacky if you've ever tried to do it with any of these remote control apps. Well, Log Me In has a way of doing that. You kind of grab the on-screen mouse and move it around. You have buttons to click. You can pull up a keyboard. You can make it go away. I was having a great time laying in bed the other morning, controlling my iMac in the house, and actually the iMac right here in the studio. And it worked great. You know, I was able to launch apps. I was able to quit. I logged out of a couple things. I mean, it totally, the user interface worked really, really well. So if you're looking for that, and of course, I was doing it on the local network, but because it's Logged Me In, it also kind of pierces firewalls in its own funky little way. And so you can do it. You can do it that way too. And I believe it's $30. Yeah. It's $30 for the app. So not cheap, but certainly, if you need that functionality, definitely worth it. And, you don't have anything else. You're good, right, John?
I'm out.
You're out. Well, we've been at this for a little while, so I think it's time we can bring the band in. Yet another Cool Stuff Found show coming to a close. I always love these shows. I always say they're easy to prep. Really, they're things that we prep over time because you folks send in a lot of great Cool Stuff Found. And we just sort of file them all away. And then when the list gets long, we put them into an agenda, we organize it, and off goes the show. So, but they're really fun to do. And I know you folks appreciate them as well. If you have Cool Stuff Found, or really, if you have anything you want to send us, be it a question, a comment, a picture, a movie, a screenshot, whatever you like, you can email it to us at
johnfeedback@macgeekgab.com.
Oh, no, John, I throw you the ball and you get it. Oh, it's feedback@macgeekgab.com.
I did not drop the ball. No, I did. But that's not the only way you can get in touch with us, Dave. You can also pick up this telephone, whether it be cell or landline or satellite or whatever the heck you have. And you can call us at 206-666-GEEK, which is
4335. You can Skype us to Mac Geek Gab. And then you can also leave us iTunes comments because, you know, we love them. We can't respond to them. We can't really do anything about them. We can't fix anything that you say, but they're there, and we appreciate it. It actually, really, those iTunes comments, what it does is it helps other users when they're looking for a podcast. It kind of helps navigate them to this one, and that's a good thing, frankly, for us and for you, because without all of you, we can't do this, and we wouldn't want to without you anyway, because you make it fun, so...
Absolutely. And now what we have, Dave, also another way, as we mentioned, Twitter.
That's right.
And you probably noticed now, Dave. Well, I've noticed. So now, of course, the Twitter for the podcast is MacGeekGab.
Right.
So, of course, we tweet when the MP3 comes out. I tweet when the show notes come out. And I believe now Michael is in on the action. At the moment that the enhanced version is available, you will also see that fact on the MacGeekGab Twitter feed. Of course, if you would like to follow me, I'm John F. Ron. If you want to follow Dave Hamilton, he's Dave Hamilton. Pilot Pete is Pilot Pete. Mac Observer is Mac Observer. It couldn't be easier.
Well, it could. Maybe. I don't know. Michael Johnston, of course, is from the We Have Communicators podcast. And, of course, we appreciate his help converting the show to AAC for you every week. CashFly at CashFly.com provides all the bandwidth for the podcast, getting it from us to you, and the podcast marketplace includes the A5 desktop speakers from Audio Engine, Yojimbo from Barebone Software, Text Expander from Smile, Notebook from Circus Ponies, and of course, Air Radar from Coingo Software, all through the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. That's it, folks. We are out of here for this week, and we'll be back next week. I'm going snowboarding again on Saturday. I think the kids are hooked, John.
Wow. Well, yeah. Based on what I know, Dave, you may have some snow. This may be the region crippler.
I'm hoping for it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Have a great week, folks. Stay safe. Stay warm. Don't get caught.